Yeah, man. By the way, a lot of guys hitting us up from our conversation with Connor Riley earlier today on Dukes and Bell about Greg Sankey basically saying, I'm the man and you can all suck it when it comes to the SEC and the pecking order of college football. A lot of guys saying, Carl, can they screw this up?
Yes.
Yes, they can.
They can.
But right now, no, not in the short term. But, I mean, college football, despite all the things but a lot of fans think is maybe wrong with it, still putting up crazy numbers, not, you know, NFL numbers, but certainly the college football playoff was a huge moneymaker. That's why they're already considering going to 16 teams. Still not a complete no. They may not even do 16 for next season, Carl, as far as we know.
Yeah, look, the problem is, again, that everybody has to come to an agreement, and it's not just about your conference. I'm going to use this phrase because this is the phrase that matters. What's right for college football? Not what's right for the SEC or what's right for the Big Ten or what's right for the Big 12 or what's right for the ACC. What's right for college football? And the nature of this is Greg Sankey's duties is to do what's right for what? The SEC. So that is the fundamental problem that we're dealing with. Why? And you asked the question, and guys saying, can they screw? Yeah, they can screw this up. You can make this worse than what it already is by not doing what's best for college football.
Now, again, I just think I've said this, and you and I started, you know, 12, 11 years ago, we talked about this. I've always felt that where college football is going, and Greg Sankey is going to grease the skids to get you there, is a Super 50, where it's the 50 biggest teams. And how you get there, God knows. But somebody's going to be out in the cold, and then that program's going to die. And that's the fear that, you know, because look, even if you're Georgia Tech, and again, granted, Brent's turning things around and they got things going with the collective. The collective has been the great equalizer for teams because you get the money in the right people's hands, you get the right players. Now, Deion showed he could do it in Colorado, same example. But you do worry that at some point, it's just, you know, there are going to be teams that left on the side of the road, and that truck's going to be going down the street.
That's right.
And it's going to be driven by the Big Ten, the SEC. So stay tuned on that. That's why I'd love a guy like Saban. Now, again, just to run it, because he's been in the Big Ten, he's been in the SEC, and again, but how do you convince a guy like Sankey to do what's right, to your point?
It's going to be difficult. That's the hard part.
Right.
Once everybody, look, we can talk about, you know, what we agree on, what we think's right, but ultimately, this is about control.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think the Big Ten wants to be in control as much as Greg Sankey and the SEC wants to be in control, and that's why the ACC and the Big 12 are having their fundamental issues with the way things are going, well, there's a lot to overcome here.
Right. Coming up in 15 minutes, who wasn't at OTAs at Flowery Branch? All right, man. So I was up at Indy. It was cold on race day, bro. I mean, Saturday, we rented a house with a pool in the neighborhood called Broad Ripple. I was telling Carl, great bar scene. Kind of reminds you of the old Buckhead days. But a lot of great spots, good restaurants by this little river that goes around there. But on Sunday, and the weatherman said it was going to be like 71, 72.
Okay.
Partly cloudy. So I'm in like a race t-shirt, shorts. Me and the dude are saying same outfit. Don's in the same outfit, my buddy. Dave had a long sleeve, my buddy. We get there. It's freezing, and it's raining. And it starts raining, and it was misty rain. That's why the race took a while to get started.
Okay.
And that's why Tom Brady didn't really get scared in the ride of his life, because they couldn't really let Jimmy Johnson release the hounds because the track was still kind of wet. They had to wait almost like a half hour to 45 to get the race going. But, you know, the funny thing is, you people start to realize, like me, I'm the eternal optimist. Oh, it's going to be fine. Suck it up. And I'm out of heat. Cold doesn't bother me. And then after like about 20 laps in, I'm like,
it's cold.
Freaking cold. You know, and I got a cooler full of beer, and it's not helping. What you need is like an Irish coffee at this point. So my buddy Don, they have a caution, so it's going to be a few minutes. So he goes on walkabout, and every concession stand was out of sweatshirts. Not that they sell a lot of sweatshirts, because normally you sweat your butt off at Indy like last year.
It's hot, yeah.
So anyway, so Don comes back after like 15 minutes. I'm like, what in God's name are you wearing? He's wearing a Purdue Boilermakers windbreaker. And on the back, it says Purdue football. I mean, it looks like something like from 1975. You know, like the only thing missing would Don be wearing like those bike shorts your old coach would wear, right? They go up around your nipples. And I go, where the hell did you get that? He goes, there's a guy has an Indiana and Purdue tent, because the Indiana band was the marching band. They alternate every year at the 500. And this guy was making a fortune selling jackets and sweatshirts.
Because it was chilly.
Right. So Don's got this jacket. So later on, as we're leaving the track, and we parked the car about a half mile away. So we're walking down the main drag, and guy's going to Don like, boiler up, because he's wearing Purdue. And Don's like,
he's not responding.
And Don's like, so Carl is like, guy's like, one girl goes, and it was a sexy black, goes, boiler up. And Don goes, you betcha. because he doesn't know. So finally, I asked, there was a girl, a Purdue girl, was walking with her boyfriend. I go, hey, real quick, what is the Purdue slogan? What are you supposed to say?
That's funny.
And apparently it goes back to the Joe Tiller days when they had like Drew Brees and stuff. And apparently it's supposed to be like boiler up and you say hammer down.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, roll tide, you know, yellow, right. Abba-jamma rail. Anyway. So finally, I tell Don, you got to respond to this. So now people are walking by. It's almost like that State Farm commercial, right? What he's not saying roll tide. What's he saying, Dominic?
Oh, yeah. He's like high tide or something.
Oh, yeah, high tide.
Yeah.
So that was Don. Don was basically high tide. And so finally, he realized boiler down, boiler up, hammer down. So that was cool.
That's great.
Other things from the weekend. Best race ratings they've had in forever. The Fox effect, the Fox bounce.
So it worked.
For the Indy 500, over 7 million people, over 8 million at its highest point.
Okay.
Because when I was a kid, the Indy 500 was the biggest race. Then Daytona got big, and then Indy split their series. And then NASCAR went through the roof, and then NASCAR cooled off. So maybe we'll see with Fox's involvement, because it was kind of neat. Even like casual fans that were sitting with us were like, man, that's pretty cool. Derek Jeter was there. A-Rod was there.
Yeah.
Strahan's driving the pace car. At one point, they're telling Strahan, you got to speed up. So they were getting him like, you got to go faster, dude, for these cars behind you. Got to get the speed, you know, the heat in the tires. Yeah,
you're allowed to go fast out here.
Yeah, but it was kind of neat. A lot of fun out there. Bryson DeChambeau, I should say, on Saturday, he hit a golf ball 738 yards. They had like a little portable tee that like just stands on its own.
Unbelievable.
He hits it on the backstretch. The backstretch at Indianapolis Motor Speedway is about 3,300 yards long. So he hit the ball 114 feet. It's 3,300 feet. That's how long the backstretch is. 330. The number was basically 738 yards. So he basically hit it 2,200 yards. The backstretch is 3,300 yards. How cool is that?
That's crazy.
It's pretty neat. So Tom Brady, he did get to ride in the car. One of the funnier things, Carl, because it's Colts territory. So everybody's booing Tom Brady because they hated the old days of the Patriots and the Colts.
That was the rivalry, right? I mean, Peyton Manning and Tom, and then, you know, who was going to go to the Super Bowl?
Right on. One of the other things that went down over the weekend, they did the invocation, and the priest, the minister that did it, he was the bishop, I guess he was the Episcopal bishop of Indianapolis. And, of course, he said, you know, God bless our troops and soldiers and sailors. You know, God bless the fans and the drivers. And he pauses and goes, and God bless our Pacers. And the crowd goes bananas. That's kind of neat. Anyway, it was kind of cool to be in a sports bar and watching Pacer fans having fun and having a good time. Unfortunately, not so much fun up in Carmel, Indiana, suburban Indianapolis. Pacer fan has been charged of stabbing a Knicks fan.
Oh!
Apparently, they were talking jive and it escalated. Dude went in his car. Thank God he didn't bring a gun. This dude went back into the Danny Boy Beer Works named Jared Funk. He looks a little bit like Timothy Chalamet, got bushy hair. Anyway, comes back and he stabs a guy. Minor lung tear, broken ribs. Second man suffered a leg laceration. Both guys were bleeding big time. The alleged victims say this guy smacked a Knicks hat off one of the fans, and apparently the Knicks fan like shoved him, and he went back and so it should never turn to that. Because that gives a bad rap for what has normally been a wonderful place to visit, very friendly folks.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, look, the guy's okay. The guy's going to survive.
Yeah, he's going to be okay. But yeah, I mean, still, I mean.
Oh, no doubt.
Mugshot, you look like a punk kid. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you can't handle it with fisticuffs, Carl. I don't know about going with the blade.
I agree, man.
I don't know about that. Hey, over the weekend, I saw this story, and I just mentioned it to Carl off the air. Roger Goodell down at the owners' meetings, and maybe you missed it, maybe you saw this. Pro Football Talk had a big blurb on it today that Florio wrote. But in a nutshell, Roger Goodell, without being asked about it, planted the seed with the media that moving forward, if we're going to get to 18 games, we're going to have to work on the CBA. Now, the CBA is in place until 2031.
Yes.
We've got 11 more. We got a few more years of this, man. So we're in a good position. Here we are. It's 2025. We got at least 6 more years to go. So that was kind of an eyebrow raiser, basically saying there's no formal plans. We obviously continue to be in close communication with the union. He goes, but he says we need to work when it comes to the 18 games and everything. The thing is the rising cost to owners. So basically what writers and people are reading into this,
nice.
When he says the second is just the rising cost, the cost of stadiums, the cost of facilities, the cost of operation. What owner pays for his own freaking stadium this day? You rip off the local county and state. Anyway, Goodell says, I think both of those will form what I would call our priorities. So some are reading this, and Florio wrote an article today in Pro Football Talk. What I'm getting to is they think they're going to push back the union to no longer have a 50-50 split. And the union's going to say, screw that noise, and we're going to have labor trouble over the 18 games.
First of all, this would be the biggest mistake in sports history. It is the number one sport and remains the number one sport. They bullied the NBA out of Christmas Day. They don't give a damn about college football being played on Saturdays. They'll play a Saturday game, which they have traditionally in December, into January. We know this. It would be a monumental mistake. But if it was to happen, the players have every right to fight back, Mike, because the revenues have never been as high. And now you want me to take less and add more games. Mm-hmm. There's no way that the Players Association is going to stand for that.
And the owner, I mean, again, you're literally printing money. You're printing money. It's the most, Carl just laid it out. It is the most successful league. I know that, look, the players will never get to where the NBA players are. But you know, certainly they're in a tremendous spot because every year now, I think what the owners didn't anticipate when they cut this deal, remember they got locked out basically of the OTAs in minicamp, and they cut this deal down here in Atlanta at the airport.
They did.
And the idea was maybe the owners never anticipated the revenue reaching the point where now the cap is doubled. So now, the players are getting a lot more money than the owners ever thought they'd or ever figured they'd be paying them. That's the rub.
Yeah, listen, here's the deal. The NFL is the only league, just to put this in perspective, that tells the streaming networks and the TV networks what they're going to do. Every other sport is dictated the opposite way.
Right.
And that alone, Mike, tells you why the Players Association would never bow down to the idea of we're going to add games and we're going to get less. It should be a 50-50 split. But you're right. I think the owners did not anticipate this. And remember, after 2020, and I know, again, it seems like forever, everybody's like, oh, it's going to take some time. And maybe everybody figured it would take a lot more time for things to bounce back. The NFL was still making revenue when nobody else was.
Correct. And by the way, I just thought this, you got to get out of here with a break. We're going to talk Falcons, talk about who wasn't at OTAs coming up here in just a bit. One thing I left out of our conversation about college football and Sankey and revenue, you know, is the TV money going to be there, like this bottomless, endless supply of loot? Because ESPN, remember, they're going to have their own bespoke channel.
They
now.
Are.
And maybe some people don't pay that $30. You know, and maybe people sort of change the way they get their product. And I'm just wondering, because for years now, it's just been the college football guy has been printing money as revenue, and the money that teams get has gone up. Maybe that doesn't always stay that way.
The philosophy behind this is pretty simple. ESPN has looked at all the data, and they said, what do people want? They want the NFL. We'll keep them. They want the NBA. It's doing well. We just signed a new $11 billion deal with the NBA. Mm-hmm. We'll keep them. They want college football. We'll keep them. Everything else, Mike, and they feel like all of those fans are going to come and pay for the streaming service, which more than likely you will. And that's what they're banking on. But I don't know. It's a great question. Hey, man, coming up, glad you had fun, by the way, in Indy.
Right on.
We are going to talk about what Raheem Morris had to say. He spoke today at OTAs, and Mike mentioned it. He wasn't there. It's Dukes and Bell.